This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. I don't know where they think that there's inflation building from, but in the case of Easter dinner, according to the Farm Bureau economists, the cost was down 6% this year. Eggs, beef, chicken, hams, and cheese were all lower priced. Lettuce was up, mostly due to weather and labor issues in California. I don't think we had any lettuce for our Easter dinner. This is still a relief recovery in inflation from where prices were beaten down, but there's no energy behind price inflation yet to call it a trend. The Wall Street Journal pointed out that index funds don't work as well as commodities, as in stocks, because technology is deflationary in commodities. There are storage costs to commodities. And while stock prices are driven by investors, commodities have many sellers that can't individually set the price. Buy and hold is a different outcome in commodities than in stocks. China reported an impressively strong 6.9% GDP growth rate last quarter. The problem is that it was fueled by debt and infrastructure spending, and most do not think it is sustainable. It is not that different, however, really, to the economic plan that Trump has to boost the economy here, deficit and infrastructure spending. Credit in China is growing twice as fast as GDP, with the total debt now 227% of annual GDP. China's ag ministry says that soy imports will increase to 86.55 million metric tons this year. That is the low end of trade estimates, with that range as high as 89 million metric tons. Brazil imported 6.33 million metric tons of soybeans in March, and Brazil shipped a record 9 million tons last month. The huge Brazilian soybean crop, now 87% harvested, is being given credit for pulling Brazil's economy out of the ditch last quarter, pushing GDP slightly above water there. China now says it will import 2 million metric ton instead of 1 million metric ton of corn. Again, much of what they import is barter from Ukraine. I would not read too much into that. They've shut off the importation of other feedstuffs, such as DDGs and sorghum. South Africa could have some corn to sell them again. China's duties and tariffs on U.S. DDGs are totally unwarranted. They have severely negatively impacted U.S. DDG prices to the benefit of U.S. livestock producers, but negatively impacted the U.S. corn balance sheet. U.S. corn feed consumption is not declining because of less livestock, but because of more competition from other feedstuffs. Mexico is now the largest DDG buyer. More risk for the ag sector if NAFTA is disrupted. If there really is a reset of U.S.-Chinese trade relations, then reopening their market to DDGs would be at the top of the list, too. Ethanol stocks have set record highs, so production is beginning to slow, but not by much. Corn is cheap enough to make ethanol. Gasoline demand is starting to pick up, which should bring better ethanol demand from it from blending. There is potentially both good and bad news for biodiesel. The good news is that there is some support for a biodiesel tax credit, and it would be changed to go to producers, so blenders would not get it for blending Argentine imports. The bad news is that Tesla is reportedly making strong progress on a Tesla semi-truck. Trucks are the biggest consumer of diesel, so that fuel market could shrink from expanded electric vehicle technology adapted by the transportation industry. Grain market bulls are trying to talk up wet forecasts and planning delays, but it is still just conjecture at this time. I'm not that worried yet. The good news is that crops will have good spring moisture conditions when they get in. The balance sheets are bearish and pretty locked in. There's a ton of old crop corn still owned by farmers in bins. If crops do go in on time, it gets tougher to harm them later. On the cattle, cattle that packers bought last week for $1.28 to $1.30 were actually May cattle. The days on feed for these cattle are shrinking and weights are too. They sold green cattle last week and will offer greener cattle to packers this week. The front end supply is very short, and I think that packers will be forced to cut kills. The beef cutouts posted small gains late last week. While the beef market was not impressive, packers have a vested interest in getting the product market turned higher and will opt to cut kills to do so. As we anticipated, the basis has favored the bulls and futures as the cash market has outperformed bearish expectations. This has been a perfect setup for when feedlots can sell their cash cattle very profitably and trade them for new feeders with a much lower break-even because of the discount in summer live cattle futures. I'll bet that the next rounds of cattle on feed makes money too. There should be some recovery in equity from the train wreck last year. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa, online at Comstock.com, or call 712-933-9400.